Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Hey, it's good to get back in our Father's Word. Hosea chapter 11. What a fantastic chapter it is. Chapter 11 and chapter 12, we get back into quite a bit of history from the time of the writing. But it has everything to do with the end times, because they were types and examples of how it would be when the Antichrist came. So it makes it very important. He basically is going to lay out why we have Hosea, which means salvation. And it will be the prime root of salvation. So having said that, chapter 11, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father, let's go with it. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Now, when he says son, he only had one begotten son, the only begotten. And that's who he's talking about here, and naturally that's the prime root of salvation. And we read of that in Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. You listen to it here. Speaking of Joseph, the adopted father of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Herod was going to kill all those under two, okay? And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Well, what prophet is that? Hosea. We just read it, okay? Saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And there you have it. The prime root of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ himself as a babe, that he would come forth. And the Lord in the next two chapters, or three, I should say, how fantastic it is. Hang on, it's a good ride. Verse 2, as they called them, they is the prophets God sent from day one. All the prophets setting the example, leading, guiding, directing, so they went from them. They wouldn't listen. They sacrificed unto Balaam, not to God. They wouldn't listen to God's prophets, and burned incense to graven image. But it was so religious, playing church. You know, unfortunately, in stupidity, many people still burn incense, not literally, but just doing spiritual things to nonsense. And well, you might say, well, what do you mean nonsense? Worshipping things and ways, traditions of men that are not part of God's Word, that are not in God's Word. And actually, those traditions, if you're not careful, make void the Word of God. Our Father doesn't like it. What he has said here, I sent my prophets down to them, but they would not listen, and they continued to go further away to the point of playing their own religion and worshiping idols. That's to say, worshiping anything other than myself, our Father says. Verse 3, I taught Ephraim also to go. I taught him how to walk. Okay, it's a baby. Taught him how to walk, Ephraim being the 10 tribes of Israel. Okay. Taking them by the arms, but they knew not that I healed them. They didn't realize it was I that led them and taught them how to walk and where to walk to take care of them, those 10 tribes. Naturally, as those tribes would go over the Caucasus Mountains, settling Europe, later coming to the America, Canada, the Christian nations of these end times. You know how he did it? Verse 4. I drew them with cords of a man. That word in the Hebrew, man, is Adam. Okay. Through that generation, genealogy rather. With bands of love. Actually, ropes of love. Our Father is a God of love. He loves his children. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws. And I laid meat unto them. This is an agricultural term, and what it means is that I led them with love itself, and I loved them so much that I would ease the old hard yoke when they were working and pulling. I would ease the straps of that yoke up a little bit where it was more comfortable. This is why later Christ would say, he's the yoke. You want to put him on. It makes the load easier to carry. But he said, then I will feed you. Does he feed you today? Do you know what he's talking about when he says he feeds them? He feeds them spiritually with the Word of God, with the truth. So that no playing around. No burning incense to other religions. But loving Almighty God, your Father. You know, when you're family, you don't need all the malarkey of playing religion, playing church. For Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality. It's family. And our Father, what does He want from you? As we learned back in chapter 6, verse 6 of Hosea, He wants your love because He loves you. He said, I ease that load and I feed you so that you can have the truth, the knowledge. This plays back to verse 2 where He said, I send prophets, teachers, so that you can know. But you wouldn't listen. Verse 5. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king. Because they refuse to return. They refuse me. And they listen to lies. You might say, well, who is this Assyrian? Well, the Assyrian was only a type that took them. As I told you, there's a lot of history here. But it's only a type of how it will be in the end times. When you read Isaiah chapter 14, verse 25, you find out this is Antichrist. This is one of the Antichrist names. And he will mislead. And when you go into Egypt, it means you're going into captivity. Captivity to who? Satan. Because you listen to men's traditions. And you see, many might say, well, how could that be? Well, as you know from the book of Revelations, the Antichrist comes before the true Christ. Do you know what his message is? I've come to fly you out of here. Come to rapture you away. Though the word rapture is not even in the Word of God. And people believe it. They're taken in by it. They do not listen to the Word of God, the actual Word, with understanding. You know, God is so gentle and so tender. He said, I even taught you how to walk. And when you were so little, I took you by the hand, I led you, and I healed you. I showed you the way when you didn't know the way. And led you into freedom and Christianity. Because I called my son out of Egypt to be the Savior of the world, my only begotten. I sent prophets to tell of him. You wouldn't believe it. You might say, well, when did he send prophets to tell it? Isaiah chapter 7. A virgin shall conceive and he will bear a son and you will call him Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. Our Father cares. He wants you to care. He wants you to listen to him, not men that make void the word of God. Verse 6, and the sword shall abide on his cities and shall consume his branches. Branches are his sons, okay, his children. And devour them with what? Confusion. Because of their own counsels, because of their own teachings. Their own, well, what does he mean by their own teaching? Burning incense to idols. That's the false religion. Rapture doctrines. Things that don't exist in God's Word. Which you and you know, men saying, you don't have to understand God's Word. You're going to be gone. That's a lie. I'm not judging, but it is a lie. And if you believe it, you've already received part of the mark of the beast. That's to say, confusion in your mind, whereby you will worship the beast, which is none other than the false Christ himself. It's real sad that an entire nation could be led into captivity by false teaching. Verse 7, and my people are bent to backslide from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. though they going back to the prophets and those, they called him the Most High, but they won't listen. They're just bent on backsliding to the first soothe talker that'll come along. This is what Paul would teach in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, I'd like for you to bear with me. I don't want you to be deceived as Eve was, who was totally seduced by the devil. That you get one of these super preachers come along and you swallow what they say hook, line, and sinker. I'm not as bold, I'm not as accurate perhaps or as they are in speech, but I can jerk the rug out from under them in knowledge anytime I want to, because they are disguised as preachers of Christ and they're not. And he says, don't marvel at that, for Satan himself will come disguised. The word is transformed in the English, but the word in the Greek is disguised. As an angel of light, and he's the devil himself. They're just hell-bent to backslide. Well, what does that hell-bent mean? To go to hell. It seems like they just want to really go there real bad because they will not. You know, a child, if you just take the time and pick up the subject and the object that God is talking about, a child can understand this. He said, I sent my prophets, and all you got to do is listen to them, because I'm a God of love. I do it gently and tenderly. And you just have to listen to falseness. Verse 8, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? He doesn't want to. How shall I deliver thee? How can I save you, Israel? Question. Here he has that name Israel slips in. Make a note of it in your mind. How shall I make thee as Admah, and how shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. My compassion is just kindled up inside of me, our Father says. Do you know what he has said here? Let's translate these names to their true meaning. Admah means an earthly fortress, and Zeboim means a gazelle. But what is God talking about here? When you read in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 23, you find out they were part of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God destroyed them. So what is God saying here? He's saying, Ephraim, Israel, my compassion builds up for you. How am I going to destroy you because you're acting just like Sodom and Gomorrah? Just like the neighboring cities did, and I had to destroy the whole bunch. Deuteronomy 29 and in Genesis 10 and 14 on through. He said, I don't want to do it. And you see the compassion and the love in God's heart here. He said, you see where you're headed? You let that perversion slip into your ranks and into your actions, into your nation. He won't stand for it. Okay. That is a severe warning. Verse 9. I will not execute the furiousness of mine anger. Do you know why? Because God's elect are right in the midst, working their hearts out to teach the truth. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God. I am El. Okay. And not man, Ish. I'm not an Ish. The Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. I'm not going to come against you as an enemy, but there's one headed that way. It's the Assyrian. That's what he's telling you. He is an enemy, and he is coming. It's not God you have to worry about taking you into captivity. You better be worried about the Assyrian, which is a nice way of saying the Antichrist or Satan. When you amplify this to the only begotten that was called and taken to Egypt to be the savior of the world, especially in these end times. God said, you just continue to want to backslide. It isn't He that's going to destroy us, but it will be the ignorance of the people that shall cause them to destroy themselves if they're not careful. Verse 10, they shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. In other words, there's a time coming when I take it out on the enemy that those that do love me are going to start running home. They're going to start worshiping Almighty God, the true Father. 11, they shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt. That's to say they're going to flutter. And as a dove out of the land of Assyria, escaping the captivity, coming home to the Lord. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. I'm going to welcome them home. Think of the prodigal son and the father that welcomed them back. Our Father welcomes us anytime. You don't have to wait till the trouble starts. You need to do it now to let Him know that you love Him. He hurts because of the perversion in the world. And He looks for those elect that love Him, to let Him know, to talk to Him, speak to Him, and let Him lead you, let Him direct you, pulling that rope of love and guidance. Our Father takes care of His own. This 12th verse is really the first verse of chapter 12. Okay, there's a little confusion from the manuscripts and the ancient manuscripts. It is the first verse of chapter 12. Therefore, it will seem a little confusion because of the subject matter and the change. And even with that, I will correct it, but there is even a little bit of a mistranslation. Verse 12. Starting a new thought. We'll be starting chapter 12, actually. Ephraim compassed me about with lies. All their religion was false. And the house of Israel with deceit, deception, false teaching. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. He was doing a lot of wandering, is what the actual word says. But he still had faith. In chapter 12, verse 1, with that thought continuing, Ephraim feedeth on wind. That's the Ruach. It's not the Holy Spirit. And followeth after the east wind. That's the hot desert wind that burns and ruins crops and burns homes, destroys people. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, even to the point of the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in the end times. And they do make a covenant with the Assyrians. And that's to say, they make a covenant even with the false teaching. It's called flying away. God would say in Ezekiel chapter 13, along about verse 20, beginning with 18, I'm against those that cover my saving arms of salvation and sew pillows and teach my people to fly to save their souls, and I'm against it. It's the message of the Assyrian, the false Christ. And oil is carried into Egypt. Is it not strange that our Father knew at that time, out of the Middle East, Egypt is the only nation that they have to haul oil to? They don't have any. Okay. Verse 2. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob. When Jacob is used, that's all 12 tribes. That's the 10 and Judah as well, according to his ways. I'm going to visit him. According to his doings will he recompense him. No, Father, you know something? Our Father is always fair, and he's loving. All you have to do is repent and do what's right. He's going to take care of you. Or you can be obstinate, stubborn, and pay for it. Okay, that's your choice. You know, That's what God wants you to do, is make your own mind up. Do you want God's love and His blessings, or do you want the troubles of the world heaped upon you? Okay. He gives us a little history lesson here, and He calls on our knowledge of the names whereby you can understand. Jacob is, anytime the word Jacob is used, that's the natural seed of Israel, all of them. Verse 3, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Here, Jacob I've loved and Esau I hated, as it is written in the great book of Malachi and as it is written in Romans chapter 9. While they were yet in the womb of their mother, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Why? Because of what happened in the first earth age. A lot of knowledge here for you to grasp and pick up on. Jacob was given this power by Almighty God. Because of what Jacob did in the first earth age. You see, Jacob was a first fruit. Jacob was one that stood against Satan in the first earth age. This documents that God takes care of the elect. You got it? Be comforted by it. Hang on to it. Now, let's get back to the lesson. How did Jacob have power with God? That's why his name was changed to Israel. Because he wrestled with God. Verse 4, let's read of it. Yea, he had power over the angel. The angel of what? The angel of God. And prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel. When it wasn't such a nice place, he made it a nice place. And there he spake with us. And here we have in Genesis 32:28, you can read of this, where Jacob wrestled. Oh, he was a fighter all night long. And naturally, God won, but he changed his name. That's why when it says he prevailed with God, when you say Israel, you're talking about the prince that prevailed with God. That's what Israel means. Okay. Do you want to prevail with God? That means, do you want to be successful with Almighty God and all of His love, the rope attached of love, drawing you, leading you, guiding you? Then you are a part of that family in that son that was taken to Egypt and then called out and would pay that price for all of us, showing us the way, tempted in the wilderness, showing us how to cut it right in Satan's face. Matthew chapter 4. The prince that prevailed with God, Israel. Okay. So no longer Jacob, but that one that does prevail with God, that has God's blessings, that has God's leadings. As I told you, there's a great deal of history in these two chapters that is ever so important in these end times. Verse 5, listen carefully. Do you know what? One of the last things that Jacob asked when his name was changed to Israel, he said, what do I call you? Verse 5, even the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. Memorial is his name. Here he gives his name. Let me say it to you in the Hebrew tongue, all right, as it is written. Even the Yahweh, the Elohim, the host, that is his memorial. That is Yahweh's name. And that is the one, the prince that he prevailed with. Okay. The father of the children. Verse 6. That's to say, all children. Verse 6 reads, therefore, turn thou to thy God. Turn you to A. Keep mercy and judgment. That means show love, compassion, and do what's right. Judgment means do what's just. Don't offend people. Don't lord it over people. Be fair to people, and yet at the same time hold the line of justice. and wait on thy God continually. In other words, don't turn away to some false teaching. That was the subject in the beginning. Don't burn incense to some fake. Okay. Don't listen to some would-be man of God. Which God? Okay. You better ask yourself that. Somebody says to you, don't you want change? Are you stupid? You would ask, what change? What change are you talking about? But the blind lead the blind, and they stumble and fall in the ditch by not having knowledge. That's why it's so important that you listen to your father. I don't know, did the rope slip, that rope of love from Almighty God, that you're out there without compassion and lost? Wait for the true father. Don't fall off to the fake that comes first. Meaning, if you're a student of Revelation, you know the false gods. Satan comes as Antichrist, the false Christ, in the sixth trump. The true Christ does not return, nor lift anybody out, nor take anyone anywhere until the seventh. And God's champions will stand against that one when he does come, because we wait. Verse 7. Talking about Ephraim here, but he kind of calls him a name that's not attractive. He is a merchant. Ephraim is just like a Kenite. Okay. The word is Canaan in the Hebrew, but it's Kenite. Okay. The balances of deceit are in his hand, and he loveth to oppress. He loves to deceive. He loves to hide. You're talking about this is what happens if you're not careful. Not listening to the prophets. Not listening to the prince that prevailed. Not listening to the Almighty God. Verse 8. And Ephraim said, yet I have become rich. I have found me out substance. In all my labors, they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. Okay, and unfortunately, riches don't forgive sin, my friend. And progress in the world, when it goes away from God, doesn't bring forgiveness either. Verse 9. And I that am the Lord thy God, from the land of Egypt, will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. That calls for repentance, though, my friend. I am the Yahweh Elohim that brought you, my children, out of the land of Egypt. I parted the Red Sea, fed them in the wilderness 40 years, led them into the promised land. I'm that one, and I'll do it again. I'm going to bring my children home, but they got to repent. They got to love me. They've got to know me. They've got to follow my way. Again, riches does not bring forgiveness. It does not bring God's blessings. But if it, you might say, I thought riches was God's blessing. Not with false scales and deceitful measures. That lets you know it's talking about bad manna. Okay. Money spent that doesn't belong to them. That ought to sound familiar. Verse 10. I have also spoken by the prophets. This goes all the way back. I sent them. And I have multitude visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. They are types. I have sent you one type after another of how I intend to bring deliverance and salvation to deliver our people. This is why he's giving you this history of the wrestling from the very tribe itself, of the head of the tribes, Jacob. Then the name changed to Israel, he that prevailed with God. Well, how did he do it? Prayer and supplication. But God said, I've sent you prophets. I wrote you a letter. And in that letter, if you'll follow the subject and the object instead of listening to the traditions of men that make void the word of God, You must, my friend, rightly divide the Word of God and listen to what God says. He said, I've sent those prophets. I've sent the teachers. And blessed teachers and prophets tell you the truth. And they show you the way. And the similitudes are supposed to nail it and document it. Just as the parable of the fig tree come to fruition in this generation, in the year of our Lord, 1948. It's a type. You better pay attention. It gives you the hour and the time and the day of that coming and how precious it is. Verse 11. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Is there sin there? Surely they are vanity. It's empty. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the fields. It's just heap after heap after heap. Heap. Wreck after trash after trash after trash. Okay. And never accomplishing anything. What happened at this place? It gets right back to the heart of the measure. This is the place where God wanted to be the king. He wanted his children to receive him as king. But oh no. Oh no. They had to have a man, flesh, that they could touch. A man they could see. So God blessed them. He gave them Saul. You know, you get what you deserve. You ask for a leader, and God's going to give him to you. And sometimes that's not good news. So how fantastic it is when we study the history of Almighty God and the teachings of Almighty God. And you want to listen. Unfortunately, most won't. All right. Hey, don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination. Let's don't judge people. We've got one judge. It's our Father, and he does it. He gets the job done, okay? He doesn't need our help in that department. But let him know at the same time that you love him. Won't you do that? And you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. You got a prayer request. Again, you don't need the number. Don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He's your Father. He has that rope of love that he draws you with to him. And you can feel it. You can feel his touch as he leads that rope of love to save you from these terrible times, to be your Father, to be the one that does love you, to bring you back home where you belong. It's called repentance. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, and we have so much to be thankful for. And what a thanksgiving that we have, that we can thank our Father for the word he sends us, for the prophets that he has sent us, especially this Hosea, a prophet letting us know how salvation comes to be, the very foundation for it. That son that was taken by Joseph into Egypt, and after the death of old Herod, wicked man, then returned to provide and bring in the very gospel itself. Now, right into questions, we thank our Father, and we just, everyone have a real thankful day. But be thankful most for our Heavenly Father and our nation and the Christian nations of the world. Dan from Pennsylvania. The races created on the sixth day, did they all speak the same language until the Tower of Babel? Yes, they did. That was one of the penalties that God placed upon them. They were trying to work out their own salvation without bringing God into the equation. Our Father doesn't like to be left out. That's why they were going to build a tower right to heaven where they didn't need salvation, just climb up, okay? They made one big mistake. They made it out of clay. It didn't work too good. Richard from Tennessee. A friend told me we don't have to pay attention to the Old Testament because we have the New Testament. Is there somewhere in the New Testament that says we have to pay attention to the Old? You know, ignorance is bliss. And I'm not insulting your friend, but anybody that reads the New Testament, when Christ was asked a question, how would he most often answer? Haven't you read? You see, when Christ walked the earth, there was no New Testament, only the Old. And when the questions were asked, he said, haven't you read the Old Testament? Or when Christ would say, it is written. You think he was talking about the New Testament? No, he was talking about the Old. And when Christ, one of the most crucial times for God's elect, in Mark chapter 13, where you are told exactly what you should do when you're delivered up before the Assyrian, that is to say the false Christ, that you're to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, but the very warning you're given on how to pinpoint the time is when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Well, where's the book of Daniel? Old Testament. So God made the Old Testament part of the New. So I hate to tell you, but your friend, I hope you don't lean on him for any biblical truths, or you're in a heap of hurt. Okay. Lucille from Virginia, what trump are we in now? We're in the fifth trump awaiting the sixth. What happens at the sixth? The Antichrist appears. Okay, and so it is. Probably the most important thing is that you would remember the fifth seal, because that is the time where the teaching transpires that warns of the coming of the sixth, the Antichrist. Revelation chapter 9. Howard from Pennsylvania, what does the Bible teach about voting? Are Christians supposed to vote? Well, they're not second-class citizens. In this nation, and I'm going to answer for we that are in America, we have the freedom to vote. We're a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. If the people didn't vote, then it would not be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It would be the nation of a socialistic dictator or a communistic dictator or some other dictator. So naturally, it would be really dumb for someone not to vote, especially if they're a Christian, to pick Christ-minded politicians. Okay, that's just the way it goes. Okay, so everyone should vote. I don't care what party, country, part of the country, or anything else. But you're supposed to be wiser than the serpent. And we're coming up into a time that I feel sorry for people that are dumber than the serpent. Because the serpent is going to bite a bunch right where it hurts. Mary from Pennsylvania. What are the souls that have went on to the heaven are doing now? They're celebrating. half of them are just really rejoicing, and there's half of them that are a little bit sad because they didn't cut the mustard, okay? They're on the wrong side of the gulf. You can read of it in Luke chapter 16 concerning paradise and which side of the gulf you happen to be on. Margie from California. Pastor Murray, while living on earth, can you have a guardian angel watching over you? Also, can the angels hear you if you talk to it? Do not talk to angels. Okay. We do have God's elect, and I'm speaking to God's elect now, as it's written in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. You have an angel that has the face of God at any moment that you need God's help. That's how closely God watches over the elect. But to worship angels, and if you start talking to them, in a sense, that's what you're doing. If you start talking to them, that is a great sin. God's jealous. He wants you to worship Him. You see, an angel is only a messenger. And our common people, when they're in the spiritual body, can be an angel, okay, a messenger. You don't worship them. Okay. You don't worship common children of Almighty God. You worship God. Okay. Please answer this question for me. I think we did it. Jenny from Pennsylvania. If I'm cremated when I die, will I still be resurrected? If I'm not really in the grave, I don't know if I should be cremated or not. Pastor, can you please answer this for me? Well, I'd be happy to. You know, when does resurrection take place? Have you ever read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7? Instantly. When this old flesh body breaks, that is to say, you die, you croak, okay? The silver cord parts that holds your spiritual body into this thing. And instantly, your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, meaning your soul or yourself, returns to the Father that gave it. And all you got left here is the remains of what was on earth, and you'll never use it again. Instantly, it goes back to the dust. Not instantly, but in time, it goes back to the dust from which it came. So it doesn't matter whether you cremated or whatever. You're already out of here. Okay. So God is the God of the living, not the dead. There's nobody out here in a hole in the ground. Okay. All that's in that hole in the ground are the flesh bodies returning to dust from which they came. And that person has a beautiful spiritual body that they dwelt in even in the first earth age. Okay. It grieved God in Genesis chapter 6 verse 3 that He had created man in flesh also. It's not such a good, it's good, but it's not that good, okay, compared to our spiritual body, which doesn't age, it doesn't get sick, it doesn't wither, doesn't get old, doesn't need any medicine. It's just much, much better, and you've got that to look forward to. Lucy from Kentucky. If the mark of the beast is not a number on the forehead or a chip under the skin, what is it? Could you please explain? I don't understand. It's deception, ignorance. If there is one coming, he is this beast, which means it's the Antichrist. And he's coming to get a load together to fly out to rapture right out. Okay, that's what his message will be, though he's not going anywhere. But what he wants to find out is how many don't love him. So your own kinfolks, as it's written in Mark 13, mother will betray daughter to death. Satan's name is death. Okay, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. And that's one of his names, is death. Will deliver you up to him because she thinks he's Christ. She's going to run to him whining and moaning and begging, saying, my daughter thinks she's one of God's elect and she's waiting for Christ. She doesn't know you're already here. Would you please talk to her? Have mercy on her. She's a good girl. And he's going to say, bring her to me. And of course, that's the whole purpose, is so that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, can speak through that daughter. And that trial will be worldwide, and the whole world will hear the truth. So that's what the mark of the beast is. It's, you know, it's inside the forehead. What's inside your forehead? Your brain. Use it. Okay. Jerry from California. My family and I enjoy our visit there. Thank you. It was a dream come. Okay. Thank you. I pray for you every day. Well, I appreciate that. It seems that socialism is creeping up on us fast, and I hope our nation's need when Father will correct us. Do you think that according to prophecy that it has to go that way? Hey, if people want strong delusion, God will send it. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. Okay, 9. If people want to believe a lie and deceive and deception, you know, you see, socialism and communism drive God out of the nation. So it can't be blessed, in other words. So naturally, our Father is against it. It's not going to happen here. We won't allow it. Okay. Amanda from North Carolina. When Satan and the falling angels come, will they have flesh, skin, since they were not born of woman? What will they look like? Satan was the most beautiful of the archangels, the cherubims. Okay, God made him the full, in the Hebrew it's called the full pattern. And he's a looker. Okay, and they are in spiritual bodies, but they are it is arranged by God. That's why they are fallen, okay, that they fall here, and they are kind of supernatural. They're not like we are, but still we know, as it is written in Genesis 6, they're able to impregnate woman, so they definitely have bodies, and like I said, they're lookers. Andrea from Florida. At what point do the names become written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, in the Lamb's Book of Life, actually, it has always existed. God's elect were written in it in the first earth age. I can say that a little differently. Everyone was written in it in the first earth age. It is real sad to know that at least a third of them were doomed to hell. And God then brought in this, destroyed that earth age and brought in this one, hopefully that they would accept the Savior, that they would accept the prophets. Would they? I don't know. That's up to them. What or how came about the names for months and years and days of the week? Well, mythology, Sunday comes from the sun, Monday from the moon, and so forth, okay? Craig from Nevada. Was the parable of the fig tree taught before 1948, or did other generations think they were the generation of the fig tree? No. You know, if you understand the parable of the fig tree, you know that it did not come into existence from Jeremiah chapter 24 until after Israel become a nation again from Jerusalem. Okay. That did not happen until 1948, and that is the date that fixes the generation of the fig tree. Okay. So anyone that would have said it was already in existence before that would be ignorant of God's word. I'll be kind and say that. Fern from Arkansas. In Joshua 5:2, what was the purpose of the Lord asking Joshua to circumcise the sons of Israel a second time? It did not mean to circumcise one individual a second time, but that inasmuch as they had been in that land for that long, that he would check and all those that had been born and were not circumcised would be circumcised, okay? Not circumcised one individual twice. Doesn't mean that. From what or who was Satan protecting the mercy seat? anyone that choose to overthrow it, because God gave everybody freedom of choice to love him or to hate him, to follow him or go against him. That's what true love demands, is that the entity, each entity must have that privilege of letting the love build up toward our Father and, or someone else. And the idea was that until it was documented who would love God and who would not, there had to be protection. And that's why he was called the cherubim that covereth. That means protects the mercy seat. As it ultimately ended out, as it's written in Ezekiel 28, he was protecting it from himself. When God destroyed everything and everyone on earth because of Satan, were the souls living there, would the souls living there be those who would eventually be placed into flesh bodies? Yes, we were there. Okay. Will we be able to exercise our power over the Antichrist if we are called up before him? Absolutely. But one of God's elect know what our, you know from Mark chapter 13 what our duties are before him. And those duties will be fulfilled. Judy from Georgia, I want to ask a question. I had two young friends that died in a head-on collision with a drunk driver. They were killed. The girls were 18 and 19. They were living a hard life. I don't feel they were given a chance to accept Christ in this short time of theirs. Will these girls be taught in the millennium? Well, let's don't judge them, okay? You do not know what was in their hearts and minds. God does. So you can't judge someone else. In the last instant, if they saw what was happening, and I'm not judging them, they may have been saved from long before that. You can't tell. Going to church is not salvation. It may be an indicator. But I have known, being a person of the world for many years, by that I mean living in this world, I've known people that never darkened the door of a church that are better Christians than a lot of people that do darken the door of churches and sit on the pews. Okay, a lot better men, a lot better Christians. So so you don't want to judge people. You got to leave that always to the Father. And naturally, we know that in the millennium, it's a time of salvation for those that did not have an opportunity. So, but that's not ours to judge, but our Father's. John from Missouri. Was Melchizedek Jesus in his spiritual body? Thanks to the staff, too. You are so welcome, and thank you for remembering the staff. We've got a good one. Melchizedek, what does it mean? The answer is within the name. Melka, king. Zedek, of the just, the righteous, the king of peace. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 3 or 4, document that Christ was Melchizedek. Okay, no doubt about it. Okay, for when he approached Abraham, he had no mother, no father, no generation. Okay, genealogy. Selma from Ohio. The word says that none are judged until the end of the millennium. My confusion. Many are deceived and will worship the Antichrist and partake of all of his material things. They then change to spiritual bodies at the seventh trump. That's true. Okay. Will they then also live in God's kingdom for 1,000 years so they can then accept God? There will be an opportunity when Satan is released for a short season, but that's their business, okay? I thought God will destroy those who worship the Antichrist. If they worship him at the second coming, that is to say when he's released a short season, they're dead. Okay. Now, please comment. As it seems that these flip-floppers who stand for nothing will still end up saved. Not necessarily. Okay. They've got to cut it. And if they're deceived once, the chances are they'll be deceived again as well if they're not real careful. That's what separates the good from the bad. Okay, That is to say, the good decision, a bad decision. There are no free rides. And God doesn't give anything away for free. You have to earn it. And they will have to earn it. Okay. Now, also, there is such a thing as your clothing and your welfare in the hereafter is put together by your righteous acts. As it is written in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, there's only one thing that goes with you. It's your works. A lot of people say works don't amount to anything. It's your clothing in heaven. You want to be naked? Okay. People that don't do all that much don't have much to look forward to other than having made the riffle, all right? Didn't have much here, and they're sure not going to have much there other than make it in the door. I'm not taking away from heaven. I'm saying those that get by the skin of their teeth probably won't make it at all. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. He's got that rope of love extended to you to draw you, to help you, lead you, guide you. So let Him know that you love Him. When you do, He's going to certainly make your day. And when you make His day, He's certainly going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always, I do mean always, bless you. Most important, though, this, that you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.